first interview, Radio Row. Who are you bringing in, Rome? You got a Hall of Famer. You got an All-Pro. You got a Pro Bowler. You're talking football, right? Wrong. I'm talking to the BMF title holder, Fighter of the Year in 2019, 35-13-0, lifetime. He defeated Nate Diaz at UFC 244. He recorded the fastest knockout in UFC history at UFC 239. He is an artist. He is an entertainer. He is the founder of the Jorge Masvidal Network on YouTube. He is appearing courtesy of CBDMD. We got a lot to talk about. My man, I was saying, Jorge, that you and I spent time together on my podcast. You and I spent time together on this radio program. It was not enough, man. I needed more. I knew if I was coming to your town, you and I had to come together face to face. And here we are, man. What's up? How you doing?
I like the energy, man. I'm happy we did this, man. This is cool.
This is really cool. So, you know, you've never seen this before, right? Like,
no.
None of us live in your world. That guy's a stud right there. Look at him, man. Yeah, dude. See that? See, game respects game. That's a big-time player right there. So what do you make of Radio Row? What do you make?
He gave me key words that Kill McGregor told me, so I'm going to
listen. Kill McGregor, is that what he said?
I'm going to listen what that guy
said,
man. Big
dog. By the way, that's a Hall of Famer right there who told you to quote Kill McGregor.
I'm listening to him.
Dude, so you come from not that far from here, but you've never done Radio Row before. What do you make of this whole scene?
Well, yesterday was my first day, and it was supposed to be from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. They kept me here until 10 p.m.
Oh, dude.
They worked me like a dog. And I was going to say, I ain't doing nothing else, but they told me, not. Jim Rome's tomorrow. I was like, I got to go meet my boy Jim, man, so I'm here.
I appreciate you too, champ. That's amazing. They had you here from 1 until 10.
Yeah.
All right, so when you came on my podcast, when we talked recently, we talked about your roots. How far away are we from where you grew up?
I'm southwest of here. We're in Miami Beach, which you got to go over the bridge. It's like a little island and stuff, kind of. If there's no traffic, like 20 minutes from here. If you know where the airport's at, I'm more a little that way.
Which airport?
Miami International.
Got it.
Yeah,
got
a little more south of that.
Dude, I still can't get over that. Was Anthony Munoz, who was one of the greatest players in the history of the NFL, shouting out to you, respecting you, and telling you to kill McGregor.
I'm going to listen to that. What he says, I'm going to listen to him. That guy...
Dude, my man Anthony Munoz was an amazing player. That guy is one of the most respected guys ever to play the game. And he shouted out to you and gave you nothing but respect. I'll get back to McGregor in a minute. But for those who did not hear our podcast, what was life like for you growing up in this area?
It was fun. I had a fun childhood. I moved around a lot throughout the city. I've lived in all parts of the city. I love it, man. I wouldn't change my childhood. It's every event that happened in my life. It's led to this. It's made me. It's the reason why when I go into that cage, I'm happy. I'm in a good place. Everything that I've gone through, I had to go through that to get to where I'm at today. So I loved it growing up here, I would say.
Jorge Masvidal joining us. I want to be very clear about this. You loved it. You had fun. It was not easy. This was not an easy childhood. Your mom would get up every day at 4 a.m. She'd work two jobs.
Yeah.
She worked at a car rental place. She had a second job at night. Like, how tough was mom's when you were growing up?
Oh,
what did you learn from her about hard work and grind and dedication?
Mama Dukes, without even telling me, showed me the ways to succeed, you know? I remember she'd sleep right next to me on she had like a little mattress on the floor, and I'd be staying like in the couch. I was like 3-4 years old. We were staying at my aunt's house, and she'd wake up and make these necklaces to like boxes of them. She put them together and then like ship them out to the manufacturer, whatever, and that was part of like her side hustle as well as working in rental car places, all types of stuff. So I saw that as a child, and I saw that when she did these things, good things would happen, like Christmas gifts and things like that. So that already put a work ethic in my mind. Like, if you go to the gym, it's to work out, and I'm gonna outwork everybody in the room. And it's been the same mentality since I was a kid, since I was an amateur, to now just outwork everybody that's in the room.
Jorge Masvidal joining us. Then there's the legend that when you were a kid, you tried to hide a report card from your mom, and you forged the signature on the report card. How did that all go down? What did she think about that?
That's where these reflexes that you see displayed on TV, this is where they got polished up, because my mom has whooped my butt worse than any other pro fighter. She's made me cry. She's brought me to that point where I said, oh, my God, help me. You know, because she used to... She had to do it for both the man and my dad wasn't there at the time, so she had to, you know, go the little extra mile sometimes. So my mom's a big part of what you see here. This toughness that you see when I get into that cage is for my mom and the reflexes.
You know, I'm trying to get you to talk about this because I think people watch you right now, and to fully understand what's going on in the cage and some of the things you do, they need to know where you started, how you came up. You know, there's that period of time where you would sleep in your car or the gym when you couldn't make rent. You had a Bonneville that you paid roughly $500 for. Man, what was that rig like? And you're smiling about it right now. Like, it sounds really brutal and really horrible. You had fun, though, right?
I look back now and I go, man, I was laughing then. I'm laughing now. I remember there was bad parts because I had also my dog. I had a pit bull with me, and she used to sleep in the car. And if somebody would pass by, the dog would wake up. And you finally fell asleep in this hot car, and it took you like 2 hours to finally fall asleep. And then you wake up to this craziness, and you just learn to go with things, man. Because I knew then that I'd end up here. I knew this is just part of the trials and tribulations. If I really wanted that bad, I'm not going to let this discourage me. I'm not going to go work in a cubicle when I know that's not what my life calling is. I thank God that I already knew since young what I wanted to do. And it didn't matter. All the obstacles that life threw at me were just hurdles to get me in shape. You know, that's the way I've always seen it.
Dude, how did you know? That's what I want to know. Like, you knew it was temporary.
Yeah.
You knew it was hard, but this was not who you were going to be.
Yes.
You were not destined to end up there. How did you know that everything was not only going to be all right, but it would be great?
You know, now you're my. This is a little part of, but you're here in Miami. You're seeing all the talent, all the options you can get into at night, all the trouble you can get into. And more times than not, I chose to do what was the better for me and my craft. You know, whether it was going to the gym or sleeping early to wake up early to go train all day long while all my friends are going out, hanging out. Girls were calling me to come party. People were telling me this restaurant's giving out free food. I was like, man, I can't. I can't eat. I got to wake up early. And I just constantly did that. So I knew that those things that my mom instilled in me, certain things that I got, like, man, if I work, everybody, things will be all right, you know. So it didn't matter that whatever situation I was in, I just knew it was temporary. Eventually, everything's going to be just fine.
Jorge Masvidal joining me on Radio Row. Now, we talked about the resurrection on the podcast recently. I want to fast forward a bit to where you are right now, past the incredible 2019, and what you're looking at for 2020. You were at UFC, or UFC 246. You saw McGregor. Anthony Munoz just walked by and said, kill McGregor. What did you make of what you saw from McGregor? Were you impressed?
It was good. He did a lot of solid things, and I called it almost to a T in a lot of my interviews, saying what would happen in the fight, you know, if Cowboy didn't do certain things right off the gate, you know. And he did good. He lived up to what he a lot said, too, that he was going to do. You know, it was a good performance.
All right, so you made it clear since UFC 246. You don't think that he wants to fight you, though?
No, he doesn't, and it's not to knock on him. I'm not gonna sit here and call a man a coward or scared. It's just they don't want it. Their team is not moving on it. The UFC is not moving on it, and I'm not waiting for no man. You know, time waits for nobody. So I'm gonna get somebody else to baptize.
All right, so is that somebody else? Usman
is looking like him. You know, we're gonna sit down with the UFC, run these numbers, and if they make sense, Usman's getting baptized on TV.
And so Usman tweeted the following last week, quote, "For all you real fans out there, you know what's up. Gamebred Fighter is doing everything possible to avoid taking this L. Dana White has spoken, so STFU, and take this ass-whooping like the journeyman you are, and then you can go fight Connor. Hashtag once a bum, always a bum."
Wow.
My man, like, yeah, right. Like, what is your reaction to hearing that?
For starters, this guy's been fanboying over me for most of his career. I've never asked him for a picture, but when he first met me like 6 years ago, he's asking me for a picture. You can see that I've been fighting for a lot longer, so you can see why this guy is so in love with me. You know, he grew up watching me, whether it was in the street fights or not. He grew up watching me, so now for him to say this is like, you know, because your girlfriend's listening to something, you're trying to impress her. Stop. And the other thing is, he got asked. He could have cut one of the best promos ever if he could actually talk. He got asked after his fight with the guy that he broke his jaw, hey, what do you think about Masvidal? And I'm the fighter of the year, and that only gets handed out to one male individual out of the thousands of amazing athletes. I'm sure they do the same thing in NFL. They hand out to the best player of the year. I got that award, fighter of the year. And I'm in his weight class, and when they asked him, Jorge Masvidal, he said, who? No, I don't know who that is, but I want to fight the guy that's ranked under him that he already beat. So it's more like Usman is not really a fighter. He's more of a politician because he's telling people he wants to fight. But what he's saying, what he's showing, I mean, we're going to go into negotiations now. Let's see what happens, you know. But I'll tell you this right now, and he said it in an interview as well, that he gets amped up. He gets very excited when guys talk trash, you know. So this is not for you or the viewers. This is directly for Usman. I'm going to embarrass you from start to finish, and I'm going to say it now. So when it gets replayed 10 years from now, I'll tell you, I told you so. I'm going to embarrass you, whether it's on national TV, or if I see you right now here today, wherever I see you, I'm going to embarrass you for the words you have said.
Jorge Masvidal joining us. You looked right into the camera and said, I'm going to embarrass you.
Yes.
When you were on with Ariel Helwani last week, you looked directly into that camera. You addressed him the same way, Usman, and you said, you're bleeping dead.
Yes.
And
I mean
like, is
every
embarrassment
single word.
Enough, or does it need to be even more severe in terms of a baptism?
It's going to be severe. You see, in football, if you're trying to establish dominance, you score a lot of points, right? 50-0, that's what, like an overkill. Dominance, you dominated the guy. In my sport, to do a 50-0, you have to embarrass an individual. You have to torture him. You have to push him to the edge over and over and over and just show the world we're not in the same level. Our skill set's not the same. And quite honestly, he doesn't have the dog in him.
Why is that? Why is it not enough to win? Why is it not enough just to win, but you need to win a certain way? You need to embarrass a man. You need to rip this guy's manhood.
That's what the public demands, you know. I for a while have been doing my crafting pretty well on it as far as competing against the top level opponents. But I didn't get that breakthrough money and stardom till I did what? Ended Ben Askren. And people love the insane violence, that over the top violence, that medieval grit, you know, and I'll give it to them. I'll oblige them. If this increases my paychecks, I will gladly oblige them. I will gladly embarrass Usman's for the greater good of mankind.
I mentioned off the very top, you're working with CBD MD. What do you like about that product? How much does it help you?
Well, me personally, my hands, you could imagine, whether I'm doing any activity, it's weightlifting, wrestling, or punching, my hands are constantly taking abuse from lifting, from wrestling. So I've been maybe 6 months now, I've been using this one cream, and it's helped me out tremendously. But besides that, we get tested for THC. I can't have a product that has THC with the CBD. So this is why I think it's amazing. Firefighters, policemen, anybody that's worried about that can for sure bet their money on this. The third party tested, and I've never had a problem with the UFC. And we get tested often. We get tested randomly. I got tested 3 days ago. So it's the best CBD product out there.
CBD MD. Now, ordinarily, I would say to you, this is the time of the interview where you bust out and you present me with my autographed bottle of your mezcal. Except we can't do that on the show.
Can't do it.
I gotta know, man. I did miss the launch party. I told you that. I'm assuming the invitation got lost in the mail. Apology accepted, my man.
We're gonna
no
blame
worries.
That guy right there. We're gonna blame that guy right there.
Dude, talk to me about that. Like, what's it like? You've got your own mezcal. What's it like? What was that launch party that I missed? What was that like?
The party was good, but I've been in with the company and me been talking about 3 years. Going into 2018, we had a task sheet of things for me to do for the brand to go right. And it couldn't have gone a degree to the left, a degree to the right. Everything had to be exactly how it is. And I'm glad that worked out. That was able to give me the leverage for me and the company that we needed to move forward. And it's just an amazing journey, man. I can't believe that all these thoughts that I had about 2 years ago are now coming to fruition.
How'd you do that, man? Like, if you conceive it, you can achieve it. I understand that whole thing. But that resurrection, you went away for about a year. I got to know, and you and I talked about it on the podcast before I let you go. For those who have not heard this, when you went away for 1 year and you reinvented and you resurrected, what types of things did you think about and what types of things did you do practically?
Well, I'll tell you the most important thing, Jim. No outside influences for a long time. No radio, no music. Even just the people telling you things. Like, man, I went to Dunkin' Donuts the other day and the coffee sucked, and now you're thinking about the coffee that sucked. No. Just me and my thoughts. Whether it be good or bad, it was just me and my thoughts. After enough time of this, you get to dig into yourself. And from a competitive point, I started looking at every performance I had and evaluating. How was my mindset before I went in there? What did I eat? What music did I listen to? Things like that. But I did that over a long period, day after day after day. And I started writing out theories of the best me. Go, let me take this. That day in sparring, I did that. That day that I ran the mile in under 6 minutes, what did I eat? What was I thinking before I ran the mile? Did I listen to music? All these things. I started coming up with formulas over and over and over again. And when I found the best me, I made that decision to stick to that no matter what happens. You know, and that's the only thing that you get when I step into the cage is you're getting the best version of me every time. You know why? Because I've invested so much time into finding that. And I'm pointing in the right direction. Me winning Fighter of the Year, Knockout of the Year, the fastest knockout in UFC history, shows me I'm in the right path. I got to keep doing whatever I've been doing in and out of the cage.
Jorge Masvidal, he is the Fighter of the Year. He had the fastest knockout in UFC history. My man, I so appreciate you, but especially since they worked you like a dog yesterday, and yet you came back to do this one anyway.
I wasn't missing my boy Jim's show, man.
Appreciate you, man, so much. Jorge Masvidal, he is the champ, the BMF champ, I should say, and he is kicking off our coverage all week long. We are live in Miami, and he grew up not far from here. We're getting ready for Super Bowl 54. Hope you enjoyed that one. If you got some reaction, you want to hit him up on Twitter, find him on social, or hit me up at Jim Rome.